Book of Amos, the 6th chapter, verse number 1. And I'm just going to focus on 3, 6, verse 9, first 9 words of verse 1. Amos 6 and 1, simply, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I want to preach for just a brief moment of time this morning on the disease of ease. The disease of ease. Lord, I thank you. Tremendous presence I feel. Rich presence that I feel in this place today. I thank you that you have opened up the windows of heaven this morning and let your spirit descend into this place. I thank you for every one of these sweet, precious people that have come this morning that have brought faith and expectations and have brought praise and worship, brought great faith into this house, God, that have come to turn their ears toward your voice this morning to hear what the Spirit would say into the church. God, I pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, divine favor in this pulpit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Look at your neighbor really quick and tell them he's about to preach on the disease of ease.
And the Lord bless you. You may be seated this morning.
Woe, that's never a good way to start a statement. Woe to them that are at ease. Woe to them that are at a place of complacency. Woe to them that have reached a point of satisfaction. Woe to them that have reached a point of cruise control. Woe to them that have reached a point in their lives that they are content. Was here a few weeks back and I preached on the inconvenience of revival. And we have to remember this morning that revival and a move of God has always been birthed out of sacrifice, out of labor, and out of travail. What we feel here this morning is not by accident. The Spirit of the Lord that's moving and touching us, and the richness that we feel, and the tears that are flowing out of our eyes this morning, and our hearts that are full, and the acknowledgement that you didn't need me to tell you that God was here. You could feel Him for yourself. That does not happen by accident. God didn't accidentally wander into this place. It's because somewhere, somebody was praying. Somebody's been sacrificed. Somebody's been fasting. Somebody's been laboring before the face of God. It's sacrifice, labor, travail. It's how the apostles started the church. And it's the only way it's going to continue to be a spiritual force today. We can be in existence. We can have a building. We can have a gathering of people. We can put forth an agenda, a schedule of events, a schedule of service. We could be a corporation. We could be a 501c corporation. We could gather together and have our programs, and we can be an entity that is existing in this world. But if we want to be a spiritual force that is encountering the heavens and working and moving in the supernatural, somebody somewhere is going to have to do like Pastor said this morning and make room for God to move and to work in their lives. This Pentecostal experience was birthed with a mighty wind and with cloven tongues like as fire. And I've come to tell you this morning, we still need the wind blowing, and we still need the fire burning, and we still need the altars full, and we still need the prayer rooms full, and we still need worship coming forth out of our lungs. Come to remind us this morning, I've not come to tell you anything that you don't already know. I wish I was coming this morning to preach to you that positive, uplifting message that sometimes we wish we could always preach, but then every once in a while God stirs us up and kind of comes back. And he you started this morning, and I thought, oh man, he's going to just kind of, I guess, lay the groundwork for all of it this morning. But last night I got home from Biloxi and working. I closed that door, and my family knows. Told my wife last night, I said, honey, I'm about stressed out. I told Pastor earlier, I said, I'm going and coming. I closed that door last night, and I got in the living room, and I started praying. I needed to pray. My wife would say amen. I love her. I wasn't planning to come preach this morning, but somewhere around 11 o'clock last night, I got in there, and I started praying 30, 45 minutes and kind of shut up in that room with God. We got to remember we're dealing with spiritual strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. My fight is not with you. My fight is not with my neighbor. My fight is not with my brother. My fight is in the supernatural. And if we're going to fight in the supernatural, we've got to arm ourselves and prepare ourselves and step into a place that does not come easy. It does not come convenient. If you want to reach into the, as the writer said, if you want to reach into the fires and pull some out and actually make a real difference in somebody's life, you're going to have to get to a place of sacrifice and shut yourself up and push that food away and make some sacrifice in your life that says, I refuse to let the devil destroy my family. I refuse to let hell destroy my city. I refuse to let hell rob me of my harvest. I refuse to let hell rob me of my promise and my destiny. I refuse to let hell corrupt our society any longer. I'm willing to take the steps to step into a spiritual battle. Come to remind us this morning that some half-hearted, lukewarm approach is not going to bring the results that people need. Wouldn't you hate to know the service that your backslidden kid decided to show up to? You know you're on them all the time. Honey, you got to get back to church. You know you need to be in church. Well, you come this Sunday, and you do that for months and months and months, and you're trying to get them to come. And finally, all of a sudden, you're sitting in your pew, and somebody taps you on the shoulder, and you look up, and there they are. You know what that does to you? That excitement that leaps up in you, that faith that jumps up in you. Wouldn't you hate to know that day, that service, that week, pastor decided not to pray? Wouldn't you hate to know that Brother Clary just decided not to get the mind of God that day? Wouldn't you hate to know nobody showed up that morning to slip in the prayer room and pray? Wouldn't you hate to know that the singers and the musicians, they were just too busy that week to really pray and seek the mind of God to get direction for that service? Wouldn't you hate to know that was the day that everybody was in a hurry to beat everybody else to the restaurants? They were just interested to get in and out, and they were pressed by the time. Wouldn't you hate to know that one opportunity, that one chance that you've been praying for months and months and maybe years and years to happen, and finally the opportunity is there, but that's just the day we decided to have some kind of lukewarm approach to what God was trying to do, and there they come and there they go, and they left and they said, man, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't experience nothing. That wouldn't happen here today. No, no, no. They'd have felt something here today because we understand we're in a spiritual battle. We understand there's something happening behind the scenes that we can't see, but we can feel it. That's why we got to keep pressing. That's why we got to keep praying. That's why when a few weeks ago I said we got to pray that that they send more laborers into the harvest, that we need more people praying. We need more people fasting. We need more participators and not more spectators. We need those that are on the peripheral of the outside that are just coming and looking and seeing what's happening. Oh, look at God blessing them. Oh, look at the firefall. We need you to stop looking and we need you to start participating. We need you to step in and put your hands on the plow and understand we're at a divine moment in time in the history of this church, and what God is wanting to give us and what God is wanting to do for us. It's going to take everybody hands on deck to get to where God is wanting to take us. I've been in churches dry, dead, lifeless. I've been asked to come preach in those churches. Brother Clary, we need you to come. I love to preach. Folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I went to bed last night. I can't wait to preach. Nobody may want to hear me preach. I tell my wife I love to sing. Nobody wants to hear me sing, but I love to preach. Couldn't wait to get here and preach. Brother Clary, we want you to come preach. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm there. We need you to come for a week. We need you to perform the miraculous. Can you resurrect our church? You get there and you find out ain't nobody prayed in months. Ain't nobody fasted in years. They don't even know how to worship. It's lifeless. It's dead. They've had no stirring of the gifts of the Spirit in months and years, and you understand they had become nothing more than the church of Laodicea that had lost their passion, had lost their zeal, lost their passion for prayer, had lost their passion for worship, had lost their passion for the presence of God, had lost their passion for the house of God. It had just become tradition. It had just become a ritual. They had just learned the system of church. They learned when to come. They learned when to go. They learned when to stand. They learned when to sit. They had become cold and indifferent, and they had become lifeless in the eyes of God. They had lost their ability to affect and impact the spiritual nature of the surroundings that they lived in. Because they had allowed the disease of ease to creep into their lives. Didn't desire to be stirred any longer. I'm going to tell you what, you resist conviction long enough. I have felt conviction many times. I have felt it many times in prayer getting ready for a service. I have felt it many times preaching in services. The Apostle Paul said, woe to me if I preach to others and I myself become a castaway. You can resist it long enough and buddy, you won't feel nothing. I pray that I nor you ever get to a place in our lives where we can resist conviction long enough to where it doesn't bother us, where our toes can be stepped on and we're just numb to the reality of the moving and people are being stirred and moved and things are happening and we're sitting around saying, I don't feel nothing. I pray that never happens to you. I pray it never happens to me. I pray it never happens to this church, but it happened in Laodicea. It's the end result to the spiritual ease within the church. Isaiah recorded, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Zion is either at ease or it is in travail. One position receives a warning from God. The other position receives children born. One position receives a reprimand. One position receives a rebuke from God. The other receives spiritual blessing and spiritual outpouring. I contend to you this morning, the church should always be in a position of travail for a lost and a dying world. That winning the lost should always be at the forefront of our minds. That we always remember that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And our mindset, every time we go to prayer, we've got to be praying for the lost. Every time we walk into this church, we've got to think, God, who's going to pray through the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? Who's going to be ready to take on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism today? Who's going to turn from their sins today? What prodigal is coming back home today? Who's going to get the miracle they need in their life? Who's going to get the spiritual awakening that they need in their life? Who's going to encounter the open doorway of heaven today into their lives? What lost person is going to stumble in this place, driving by down the road? They don't know why they came. They just felt the tugging on their heart that said, I need to go to that church. I need to sit in there. And they're going to, that's happened in churches, folks. Churches I've been at before, they come in. They say, I don't know. I was just driving by the other day. Felt like God said, I need to come in here. I hadn't been in church in 20 years. And they walk in and come down the altar and pray through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptize them in Jesus' name. I'm praying for a magnetic draw of God on this community. A spiritual awakening to rise up in folks and say, I got to get there because they're in the heat of the battle. Paul wrote to Timothy 2 and 1, 1 Timothy 2 and 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, not last of all, not least of all, but first of all, not what's left over, but that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody say all men. Doesn't matter the color of their skin. Doesn't matter the language they speak. It doesn't matter what neighborhood they come from. It doesn't matter if you've had aught against them in the past. It doesn't matter what their job is. It doesn't matter if they don't have a job. He said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Our church is open to whosoever will. Let them come drink of the waters. Our church is open to, if they're hungry, I want them coming. If they're thirsty, I want them coming. The invitation stands. If you hunger and if you thirst, God will fill you in this house. You can find the spiritual needs of your life in this church. You can find every answer to every question that you possess about life and eternity in this place right here. We're not worried about your past. We're not worried about where you come from. We're not worried about the color of your skin. There is room for, I like that this morning, there is room for whosoever will, let them come. Why are you building that church over there? Don't you know we got enough room here? No. We're making room. I'm going to get my money's worth out of your lesson this morning. First of all, prayer. Prayer is still powerful. Prayer is still life-changing. Prayer is not outdated. Prayer is not a thing of the past. Prayer is not something that, you know, they used to do until we got smart enough that we don't need to pray anymore. We got it figured out. We've become knowledgeable enough and wise enough in our own eyes. We don't need prayer anymore. We don't need God anymore. I'm disturbed when I hear of churches that are changing their prayer room into a coffee shop, you know. I'm concerned when people are more worried about fellowship than prayer, more worried about their lives than prayer. Prayer moves God closer to you, and it moves the devil further from you. I'm going to say that again. Prayer moves God closer to you, and it moves the devil further from you. Hail out of fear when you hit your knees. Hail out of fear when your voice gets lifted up. Hail out of fear when we gather together in this church, where two or three are gathered together in my name, so shall I be there in the midst of them. Hell ought to be terrified when this church assembles together to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because something's going to happen in the supernatural. Prayer is absolutely crucial to the success of any endeavor of God. Well, I don't really need prayer to preach. Yeah. You may find yourself the empty pews hearing you preach. I don't need prayer to sing. I've got this talent. Yeah, but we're more worried about the anointing than we are your talent. I don't need prayer to preach. I've got a vocabulary like nobody. We're not worried about your dictionary. We're worried about your anointing. I don't need to pray to teach that class. It's just simple stuff. It's five-year-old kids. I can walk in there. I can read my lesson 5 minutes on Sunday morning right before I go, and I can get in there and teach. I'm not worried about if you can read it in 5 minutes and quote it back to them. I'm worried about that anointing that God wants to place on your life, that you can influence the lives of kids that may be coming from broken homes and shattered homes, that you can have an eternal impact, that you can have a sensitivity to what's going on about you. Prayer is absolutely crucial. It's the one thing that every saint of God is qualified to do. You got a voice, you can pray. You got a mind and a thought, you can pray. You don't have to vocalize it. You can pray. You can meditate. Most of my praying is driving down the road, listening to the message on XM Sirius satellite radio. That's why Paul said, always be praying. It's a constant state of mind within our lives. Prayer is the one thing that you can do. Well, I'm not a public speaker. I can't preach. I don't have the ability to sing. I can't get up there and sing. That's all right. We need prayer warriors around here. The singers, I need you praying for them. The pastor needs you praying for them. The saints of God need you praying for them. The lost and the dying need you praying for them. God needs you praying. God needs you interceding. This city needs you prayer for the sick, prayer for the lost, prayer for the grieving, prayer for the oppressed and the afflicted. Folks say all the time, I don't have nothing to pray about. Pick up a newspaper. Print that list of names that popped up on the screen and take it home and spend 5 minutes on each name, and you'll spend an hour in prayer easy. First of all, prayer. Wait, what happened? Let me call so-and-so and tell them what's going on. First of all, prayer. What's unfocused? I can't wait to go tell so-and-so. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to sit around and worry all night and lose sleep. First of all, prayer. Nothing should be done for God without prayer. Prayer is going to keep your spirit right. Prayer is going to keep your attitude right. Prayer is going to keep you spiritually focused. Prayer is going to help keep your ego and your pride at bay. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's something we all need to work on. Shall humble themselves. You want to humble yourself? You push that plate away. You start fasting. They'll humble themselves. And if they will pray, and if they will seek my face. He's talking about motive right here. The reason that you're humbling yourself, the reason that you're fasting, the reason you're praying, it's not just to elevate yourself. It's not like Pastor was saying this morning where you just go pray when you need something. But you start seeking his face. It becomes about passion. It becomes about relationship. You seek my face and you turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The healing of the land is in reference to their harvest. I'll heal their land. Their crops will come back to life. There will be a harvest in your life if my people, which are called by name, they'll humble themselves. If they will get themselves to the point where they realize they need me more than they need their career. If they'll humble themselves to where they realize they need me more than they need their talent. They need me more than they need their savings. They need me more than they need their money. They need me more than they need this world. They'll humble themselves. I will heal their land. If you want harvest in your life, in your family, in your community, in this church, you cannot be at ease. We have to be in travail. We must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek his face. We must repent. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must draw near unto God so that God can draw near unto us. Psalm 92 and 10, David said, my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. At times, we as individuals need a fresh anointing upon our lives. 5 minutes, and I'm about to wrap this up, and I want you to hear these last 5 minutes. There are times and moments within our lives that we need a fresh anointing from God. We need a fresh spiritual encounter with God. There are moments and times, and see, this is where we talk about humbling ourselves. See, we struggle in humanity. We struggle with that saying, I need you, God. I need prayer. I need a fresh touch of God. I need a renewing in my mind. I need a renewing in my spirit. But even King David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I need it. He's been anointed 3 times in his kingship. He was anointed before he became king. At times you need a fresh touch of God upon your lives. A fresh encounter with the Spirit of God to renew our vision and our purpose in life. That we've become so consumed with the cares of life and the frustrations of life that we've almost lost our way and we've almost lost our purpose, and we've almost lost our identity that we don't even sometimes recognize who we are or what we are or what we're supposed to be doing. What is the purpose of the existence of this church? What is the purpose of God anointing my life and your life? And are we fulfilling that purpose within our lives and within this church? Are we truly on the front lines of spiritual warfare? Or are we simply at ease and sighing? Are we really making the eternal impact in the lives of other people? Or are we just found a comfortable place in church that we can just get by? Would you stand with me this morning? Has the disease of ease set into your relationship with Jesus? Hear me. Has your passion for his presence faded away? These are individual questions that can only be answered by you. Only you and God know that. Sometimes we recognize, you can recognize the change of people's behavior and pattern in their lives, and you recognize, well, attendance is kind of slipping off, and man, they don't seem to be worshiping like they used to, and they don't seem to be as connected or as involved, and you can see that with your eyes, that pattern of behavior changing in people's lives, but man, only you and God know what the root cause of it is. Has your passion for His presence faded away? Has your desire for the will of God in your life those times where you used to pray, God, let your will be done. God, what is your will? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be used? What do you want me to do with the talent and gifting that I possess? But has your desire for the will of God in your life faded away? Has your robe of righteousness been laid aside? Has your garment of praise been discarded? Has your personal devotion time with Jesus been removed from your life? I am preaching to someone today. God is preaching to someone today that it's time for a fresh anointing upon your life, a fresh spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ. God wants to heal someone of the disease of ease this morning. Why don't you lift your hands toward heaven this morning? Why don't we just love the Lord for a moment right here? From the start of this day, from 9:30 till now, God has been speaking to us. I hadn't spoke to Pastor since the last time I was here, but man, he was just laying the groundwork. God is speaking to somebody. God's speaking to us collectively this morning. It's time to get back on the front lines of spiritual warfare. These altars are open right now. They're fixing to begin to sing. I'm inviting everybody in this church to come pray this morning. I'm inviting every member. I'm inviting every guest. I'm inviting everybody to come find a place to pray this morning. I'm inviting you to come respond to the call of God this morning. Come on, it started at 9:30. Will you make room for God? It started at 9:30. Will you make room for God in your life? God's still speaking it. Come on. I don't want the disease of ease creeping into my life. I don't want the disease of ease creeping into my spirit. I don't want the disease of ease creeping into my heart. I don't want my passion to be gone. I don't want my zeal for His house to be gone. I don't want my burden for the kingdom of God to be gone. I don't want my burden for the lost to be gone. I want to know the purpose of God for my life, and I want to fulfill it. I want to know the purpose of God for this church, and I want to fulfill it. Come on. That's it. All of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength, God, I give it to you this morning. Come on. It's been too long since you got in that prayer closet. It's been too long since you've been in that quiet space with God. It's time to get back in it. It's time to get back in it. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, let's see it, Holy Ghost. Come on, touch us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet this morning. Nobody knows but you and God. Nobody knows but you and God. God, heal me of the disease of ease. Heal me, God.